Well, friends, if we're going to be fully armed for the struggle of life in this world, the Scriptures are the place of authority. They're the final word on matters of life and faith. And they're not just the final word, but they're also the first word. The Scriptures, the Holy Bible, contains the first and last word on matters of faith. And so this is the Holy Bible. And our approach to it is that of faith-seeking understanding. People of faith, sinful people, seeking to understand the truth revealed by God that's found in His Word. Point two, the Holy Bible. The Holy Bible. In the Bible, this book, there's a story being played out. And it's the story of God redeeming His people. See, what we have in the Bible is a historical record of God revealing who He is. It tells us what God has been saying, what God has been doing down through the centuries in order to make Himself known to sinful men and women. How He's been making Himself known as their Lord, their Judge, their Savior. The Bible is the written record of the drama of redemption. And so the historical books relate it right up to the apostolic age. So the historical books from Genesis right through to Esther, and then from Matthew's Gospel through to the book of Acts. They relate the history of what was taking place. The sermons of the prophets, the letters of the apostles, they explain the drama of redemption. And they apply it to the lives of the hearers as they point forward to the future climax of redemption, first to Christ and His cross, His death and resurrection, and ultimately to the return of Jesus on the last day when He comes and gathers His people. If you want to read those parts, Isaiah to Malachi, Romans to Revelation, has that in a whole variety of forms. The book of Psalms, well, they meditate on this drama of redemption. There's praises to God for it. There's prayers in terms of this redemption drama. That's all in light of this work that God's doing. How many books of the Bible have we got left? We've got four left. Job, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and what goes with those three? Song of Songs, Song of Solomon. Yep. They're the wisdom stuff, the wisdom writings. They're looking at life, examining life from different angles, but all in light of this drama of redemption, of this work that God is doing, this drama that explains the meaning of life. And it's this drama, this overarching story, that brings these 66 books from around 40 authors over a period of 1,500 years together as one book. So we can say it is the Holy Bible, the Holy Book, because this drama of redemption of humanity by a just, a loving, a merciful God, that we might know Him and glorify Him forever, that ties it together as a unity, as a book. If you want to look at it a different way, you could look at it as the Old Testament is sort of laying the foundations. God's made us, He's created us, He's made us to be in relationship with Him, but we've turned from that. And no matter what we do, no matter what is laid down, we can't restore that. We can't restore that relationship with God ourselves. And it keeps pointing forward, where's the solution? Where's the solution? And when we get to the start of the New Testament, who steps onto center stage? The Lord Jesus. He's the answer, the yes to all the promises, the yes to all the failings of the Old Testament. And we see that Jesus is the perfect man, the sinless one, who comes and gives His life to be our Savior, the one who is Lord that we ought to follow. The foundation is laid in the Old Testament, and then the New Testament is like the construction of the building. What does it look like? Well, here's the Savior, here's the Lord, and then from Acts onwards, what does life look like? Now that we know the answer, now that we see the fulfillment of God's promises, now that we've met the Savior, we've met the Lord, what does life look like? And that's what we're reading through particularly in the New Testament. So the Holy Bible is a historical record of God's revelation as He's redeeming a people for Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. The meaning of life is to know God through this redemption, the one which was won by His Son, Jesus Christ, and to live with Him as Lord now and forever. Now and forever. Change the highlighted word around. The Holy Bible. Now you could use what we've already said, what we've gone through so far, to argue that for the meaning of life being found in the Scriptures. It's really important, though, to have this other word, holy, stuck in there. Right? Now, holy usually means this separate, distinct, this thing we put aside, you know, that the glasses that are in that cabinet at home that no one's allowed to touch, the special thing, or that dinner set that's only for really good times. Like, if the Queen comes over, is about the only time it ever gets taken out. We've got a dinner set. We've been married 18 years. It's been used 3 times. I don't know. We've got like a good dinner set, and then we've got this other one that we just cart around everywhere and wash once every however long we move. But it's not that holy, this sort of set apart thing that you don't touch and look at. Why we put holy when we talk about the Bible, say the Holy Bible, it's because of who the author is. Who the author is. So the Bible's got 2 authors, really. 40 or so authors. There's the people who physically moved a quill or something like that to write it. But then behind that is God. And so 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Breathed out. Right? What do you do when you speak? Air comes out. Right? Breath, wind, spirit are actually all the same word. I don't know about Aramaic, but the other 2 languages the Bible were written. One word, Aramaic does it as well. All the one word for breath, wind, spirit. All Scripture is breathed out by God. Okay? God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, made sure that those men who wrote the individual books of the Bible wrote precisely what God wanted written to communicate to us His mind, to make His mind known to us. Now, the guys writing, they weren't somehow bypassed. Like, oh, they sat down at the table and all of a sudden their hands started moving and they went, oh, I've just written the letter to the Ephesians. Right? It wasn't like that. They weren't put into a trance or made into robots. As you read the different books of the Bible, you'll see people write differently. Just like when you come to church here, and 2 weeks ago, Toby was up here preaching, and he preaches in one sort of style. 4 weeks ago, Jim was preaching, and he preaches in a slightly different style, and tonight you've got me preaching, and I preach in a different style again. We're all preaching the one message, the one gospel, yet 3 different people, 3 different personalities, 3 different styles. As you look at the Scriptures and the way they're written, it comes through that way. Now, if you want to tease that out further, Josh didn't ask this question, but the types of books and the type of writing you get in the Bible, you'll find histories, you'll find laws, you'll find family trees, genealogies, you'll find poetry, you'll find wise sayings, you'll find letters, you'll find what I call the science fiction parts of the Bible, the apocalyptic stuff, which takes an idea and blows it up to the extreme so you get an impression of what's going to take place. All sorts of different styles written, and so God is breathing it out through these people. So the writing reflects the different writers, the different styles. 2 Peter 1 says, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. What we have in Scripture is the Word of God, just like the Israelites of old when they had the prophets speaking to them, we're hearing the Word of God. Every time we open up the Scriptures, so when Nick and Jacob had their challenge and Nick found Matthew 4:4 first and opened it up and Nick read to us, we heard God speak to us. When Jim was up here and read Psalm 19 and read 2 Timothy 3 and 4, we heard God speak to us. It's the prophetic word made sure. Now, technically, it's talking about the inspiration of Scripture. The inspiration of Scripture. Not, hey, well, I was really motivated, and it comes off that breathing word, right? Inspiration of Scripture, the breathing out of Scripture by God. And it's really important for us to understand this doctrine because it reminds us that when we do open Scripture, this is the true Word of God. It's as if we've got God here at the microphone speaking. It ought to challenge us to take those pages, that book, very, very seriously. This is God's instruction to you on life. Our approach to the Holy Bible should be the same as if God Himself were in person speaking to you. Because that's what's happening. And even though the Scriptures were written long ago, the character and nature of God, the all-powerful, all-knowing Creator, the one who knows the beginning from the end, His character, His nature ensure the trustworthiness of the text that we hold in our hands. And so as much as my reasoning might say, well, this is the right way to go, even though Scripture says something different, or my experience is that this would be really cool, even though Scripture says something different, or that my traditions, the way we've always done something, and it's different to Scripture, or if culture of the day is saying, this is fine, this is good, we should go this way, and it's different to Scripture, when we start doing that, listening to our reasoning above Scripture, our experience above Scripture, our traditions above Scripture, the culture of the day above Scripture, you're saying to God, no, I know better than you. So when we appeal against or deny the teaching of Scripture or overturn the teaching of Scripture, we are trying to overturn and deny the words of God Himself. We need to take the words of Scripture very, very seriously. So again, we come to the Scripture as people of faith, people trusting God, people of faith, seeking understanding, seeking the meaning of life. If we start discarding the teaching of Scripture, if we start coming to the Scriptures with our own predetermined ideas and are not humble, was the word Josh used before, not open and humble before God, for God to tell us, to rebuke us and correct us and to train us and teach us, then we are on dangerous ground. We're in the process of turning the Holy Bible into another religious philosophical text that's cast in the form of a historical drama that you listen to the bits that you want and discard the bits that you don't like. And that is human-centered rather than God-centered. That is us as sinful creatures creating a religion, a God of our own, rather than God to us, the Creator to the creatures, about life in all its fullness. And if you're getting sucked into that and getting caught with that, then you need to repent and come back to the Scriptures. The Holy Bible is, who can fill in the gap? The Holy Bible is the inspired word of the Holy God. The Holy Bible is the inspired word of the Holy God. Therefore, we need to work hard at it. We need to work hard in the Bible. See, if Christ, it's hard to say that Christ is Lord of your heart if Scripture is not Lord of your mind. If you would honor Christ and His Father, then you'll bow before the Holy Bible. Not in worship and adoration of it, but bow in terms of, I'm going to listen to it. Because there the Father, through the Spirit, bears witness to His Son. And to be so strong about the place of the Scriptures isn't to make the Bible an idol. It's not to say that the role that the Holy Spirit is put aside and we bring the Scriptures in to be the third person of the Trinity. It's to say, no, this is simply Christianity. This is true and pure faith. That we are sinners and we are going to listen with all our might to the words of the true and living God. The Holy Bible is the authority on the meaning of life. And we're going to work hard to grasp it and to understand it and to let it transform us. Secondly, we need to understand the Bible. See, our hard work in the Bible is in order to understand what God is saying. As Josh said before, we can know all these facts, but it's so that we understand who God is and who we are. The word that generally gets used instead of understand is interpretation. I hate the word interpretation. It means that it's created this whole... The Protestant Christianity is in sixes and sevens about how we understand the Bible, how we interpret the Bible. Because what does interpretation mean in the way that we use it today? Well, you've got your idea. Here's something that took place, and you give me your interpretation, and you give me your interpretation, and you give me your interpretation, and yours is valid, and yours is valid, and yours is valid. Even though you said it was up and you said it was down and you said it was spinning around in circles, that was your own interpretation. Isn't that lovely? If I was here speaking in Cantonese tonight and we had someone here interpreting for me, what's their job? What are they trying to do? Take those words, which are in Cantonese, put them into English, and then what? Give their spin on what I'm saying? Or to convey in English as close as possible to what I'm saying? That's what we want, isn't it? Convey as closely as possible what's being said. So when we're... The idea of interpretation is to understand as best as we can what is being said. And who's speaking? God. Is God clear in what He wants to communicate? Yeah. Is it always clear when we first look at things? No. We've got to work hard at it. Work hard at what? Understanding. Not coming up with my interpretation, my spin, but working hard to understand what was the true and living God trying to communicate to me in this part of Scripture. Someone said to me this morning, I ought to be plugging Bible study and meeting up one-to-one with someone else to read the Bible at this point. You know what? I never thought I'd be a preacher. But it was through time, hearing sermons, meeting with others around the Word of God, and studying God's Word, that God did a number on me and got me to hear. But it was through that hard work with others, trying to understand what God was saying. Plus the hard work of getting up earlier in the morning and reading the Bible, or making that time in your day where you could be reading the Scriptures and praying through it yourself. And friends, This whole working hard to understand what God's got to say comes off the back of going, you know, God is God. He's the Creator. He's spoken to us. He hasn't changed. And so this word is the word to me. Christ is still the same as when the Bible was written. Human nature is still the same as when the Bible was written. The need of humanity is still the same as when the Bible was written. Repentance, faith, and obedience is still the same as what it was. We've turned from God. We need to turn back to Him through faith in His Savior, the Lord Jesus. When we recognize those things, do you know what? We won't have a problem with the principle and method of seeking to hear God's word to us through carefully reading and applying what's written in the pages of the Bible. Over against reason, experience, tradition, culture, or any other way. We want to go seeking God's help by His Spirit to understand what He said to us. Because we know that the Bible contains just what God wanted us to know about Him, about ourselves, and about the meaning of life. And so off the back of it, that we need to be obedient. Knowledge to understanding to action. Psalm 119 from verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I've sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word." Friends, all of us are on a journey. All of us are passing through life. Some of us are in the position of trying to lead and guide and help others through. How are we going to get there? The Bible talks of people everywhere being in the dark on that journey. And if we can't see where we're going, we are bound to get lost. We are bound to get hurt. We are bound to hurt others as we bumble along blindly. But God gives us a light to see by. Step by step, even through, though darkness surrounds, we can make our way through life. The light doesn't make the path smooth and simple, but the light will get us to the end if we follow it. It'll take us home to the climax of the Bible, the climax of that drama of redemption, the day of Christ Jesus. The psalmist says, "I'm severely afflicted, but give me life, O Lord, according to your word." Help me to live and follow that light. This sermon, when I write the doctrine of Scripture, it feels set for an academic paper, something that should be done in a theological college somewhere. I hope this isn't coming across as an academic paper, because this is about basic life as the people of God. The doctrine of Scripture drives practical living, for it tells us God speaks to us and we need to switch the ears on and give it our full attention. And as we receive His Word, we go and live His Word. And this doctrine will mean that our hearts will be searched, will be challenged as to who we are and how we live. For the meaning of life is to know God and to glorify Him forever. We know God in the Scriptures and we glorify Him now by living in obedience to His Word. Final thing, the whole Bible arms us for the struggle of life in this world. We've dipped into Psalm 119, which has 176 verses celebrating the way God works through His Word. We've dipped into Psalm 19, to 2 Timothy 3 and 4, 2 Peter 1, all celebrating how God works through His Word. Friends, that is the word that will arm us for the struggle of life in this word. God, by His Spirit, through His Word. He will reshape us. He will redirect us. He will renew our broken, disordered, sinful lives. Do you have that expectation of Scripture? Let me finish with the words of an old preacher. He says, from 100 or so years ago, "You live in a world where yourself all is in constant danger. Enemies are around you on every side. Your own heart is deceitful. Bad examples are numerous. Satan is always laboring to lead you astray. Above all, false doctrine and false teachers of every kind abound. This is your great danger. To be safe, you must be well armed. You must provide yourself with the weapons which God has given you for help. You must store your mind with Holy Scripture. This is to be well armed. Arm yourself with a thorough knowledge of the written Word of God. Read your Bible regularly. Become familiar with your Bible. Neglect your Bible, and nothing that I know of can prevent you from error if a plausible advocate of false teaching shall happen to meet you. Make it a rule to believe nothing except it can be proved from Scripture. The Bible alone is infallible. Do you really use your Bible as much as you ought? There are many today who believe the Bible yet read it very little. Does your conscience tell you that you are one of these persons? If so, you're the person that is likely to get little help from the Bible in time of need. Trial is a sifting experience. Your store of Bible comfort may one day run very low. If so, you're the person that is unlikely to become established in the truth. I shan't be surprised to hear that you are troubled with doubts and questions about assurance, grace, faith, perseverance, and the like. The devil is an old and cunning enemy. He can quote Scripture readily enough when he pleases. Now you are not sufficiently ready with your weapons to fight a good fight with him. Your sword is held loosely in your hand. If so, you're the person that is likely to make mistakes in life. I shall not wonder if I am told that you have problems in your marriage, problems with your children, problems about the conduct of your family and about the company you keep. The world you steer through is full of rocks and shoals and sandbanks. You are not sufficiently familiar either with lighthouses or charts. If so, you're the person who is likely to be carried away by some false teacher for a time. It won't surprise me if I hear that one of those clever, eloquent men who make a convincing presentation is leading you into error. You are in need of truth. No wonder if you are tossed to and fro like a cork in the waves. All these are uncomfortable situations. I want you to escape them all. Take the advice I offer you today. Do not merely read your Bible a little, but read it a great deal. Remember your many enemies. Be armed." Let's pray. Using again some words from Psalm 119. Gracious Heavenly Father, your testimonies are wonderful. Please help our souls to keep them. Dear God, the unfolding of your words are what give light. They impart understanding to the simple. Help us to open our mouths and long for your word and long for your commandments. Dear God, turn to us. Please be gracious to us, as is your way with those who love your name. Please steady our steps according to your promise. And help us to be those people who don't merely read your Bible a little, but read it a great deal, as individuals and together with others, that we might grow in our knowledge and love of you, and that we might glorify you now and forever. We ask this in Jesus' name, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.